Hi, and welcome to our latest Outsports podcast. It is June 7th, and it is a hot time in sports. You got baseball, hockey playoffs, basketball playoffs. You got the French Open. I think the U.S. Open in golf is just around the corner, and one of them. Is it the U.S. Open, Jim? Is it the one that's next week? The
U.S. Open is next week.
U.S. Open is next week. I started questioning myself. Is it the PGA? Anyhow, we're joined this week by one of our good friends, LZ Granderson from ESPN and CNN and half the other publications on the internet and news networks. Because, hi, LZ.
Hey there, Sid. Hey, Jim.
Hey, LZ.
LZ is a new resident of, can we say where you're a new resident of, LZ?
Sure. We'll soon be a new resident of, yes.
We'll soon be a new resident of the city of Chicago. So, actually, there's an organization, Target 10. It's a marketing group that just named Chicago the number one LGBT sports city based on, I don't know, bunch of stuff. Anyhow, not surprised that you'd end up there.
You know, I have been participating in the local LGBT sports scene here for over 10 years. So that does not surprise me at all. I've played tennis tournaments here. I've been in basketball tournaments over here for years. I participated in the gay games when it was here. So not surprised at all to see that Chicago ranked that high.
But did you win a gold medal in those gay games, LZ, like Jim and me?
I was robbed by the refs.
We're talking today about a column that LZ wrote for ESPN called To Ask or Not to Ask, and it's a debate that I know Jim and I have had for a long time, and I've had with other journalists about how far sports journalists should go in talking about and pursuing stories on athletes' sexual orientation. And LZ, do you want to just, like, why'd you write this? I mean, first of all, one of the things that you do great is getting at the core of issues and really getting at, you know, the controversial aspects of them. And I just thought this was great. What drove you to write it?
Well, first of all, thank you. It was not a piece that I had originally pitched. Actually, ESPN, the magazine, approached me about the conversation about homophobia in sports, gay athletes, for a taboo issue. And, I mean, so, you know, this, you know, all three of us actually have been talking about this in one way or another for well over 10 years. And so I really didn't have anything to say at that point. And so I was really, resistant to it, to be quite honest with you, because I just felt as if I had literally said everything that needed to be said from my perspective up until that point. But they kept pushing and pushing because they thought there was more to talk about. And we kept exploring issues. And eventually I got to a place of discomfort, and that's when I said, there is something left to talk about because I'm not comfortable talking about this. And that's usually how I rank whether or not I should write a column or not, depending upon how comfortable I am. If it's something that's easy for me, then I probably shouldn't do it. If it makes me uneasy, then I was like, there we are. And this piece was one of those there you are moments. I've known closeted athletes for years. You know, we all have, and for whatever reasons, there's like this unspoken that we've taken upon ourselves just not to talk about it. And, you know, when I first started as a journalist like 20 years ago, that made all the sense in the world. When I was a journalist 10 years ago, that made all the sense in the world. But suddenly we have an openly gay basketball player, a soccer player. We've always had openly gay tennis players. And now all of a sudden the conversation of keeping, you know, this secret, if you will, a secret, no longer makes as much sense to me as it did two decades ago.
And one of the interesting things that to me is what you're talking about is the danger of someone being out is quickly fading, if not gone, in a lot of corners of sports. And reporting on people's sexual orientation, the idea that they would lose their job or their starting position, I just don't think it's credible to say that there is that danger in most corners of sports anymore. And that has kind of, I guess, in your mind at least, change the dialogue about how far you can go with this stuff.
Well, certainly in the way that we cover it, you know, and I just want to be clear to the listeners that, you know, for me, you know, I'm not really interested in writing, this person's gay column or this person is gay story. But I think if you're going to do a profile on a player, or if you're going to show family and friends of a particular player that happened to be in the stands, now we're talking about whether or not you're going to include a person's whole self. And in the past, if we knew someone was openly gay or we suspected it, we kind of avoided that conversation. I remember when Amelie Mauresmo was ranked number one, she was winning slams, and we never really saw anyone beyond her coach in the stands, even though I knew for a fact that her girlfriend was in the stands. And so that's the kind of push that I'm talking about, you know, not just writing a piece about, oh, you know, this person's rumored to be gay, but if you're going to talk about a player and their entire self, then let's talk about a player and their entire selves. I don't know if we're ready for that, but I think we definitely need to be having that conversation.
Yeah, I think there's I see a big difference between doing a profile of an athlete and including their personal selves. And in some ways, what you sort of talked about in your piece, and let's sort of be direct with everyone, we're talking here about a specific example in the NFL now with a guy named Kerry Rhodes, where there's stuff out there about, is Kerry Rhodes gay? His former boyfriend, or the guy says he's a former boyfriend, is putting all this stuff out there. And I guess the issue I get a little squeamish about, and I think you are too, LZ, is do we sort of try to out someone who doesn't want to be outed, who has denied he's gay? And that's where I still, as a gay person, as a journalist, sort of struggle with the idea. It's one thing to do a profile of Mauresmo, who you know has her partner there, and don't ask about it. I think that's wrong. But where do you go with someone that says, either I'm not gay, or I don't want to talk about it, or I don't want to be out?
Well, you know, as I said in the piece, you know, the reason why I brought that example up was because it seemed as if mainstream media, and I can't believe I'm phrasing that way, I feel like I'm Sarah Palin or something, but the mainstream media, in my opinion, went out of its way not to report about it. And the reason why that was an issue, in my opinion, was because we, as the media, don't hesitate to report on all kinds of nooks and crannies and personal business about heterosexual people. You know, I brought up the example of, you know, Rex Ryan's foot fetish, and how we were just all over the map talking about this coach's foot fetish, which had absolutely nothing to do with the game of football. And so, you know, I just felt that if we were willing to have this conversation about this coach's foot fetish, then why are we pretending as if these photos are not on the Internet? Why are we pretending as if this guy hasn't been on urban radio saying that Kerry Rhodes is my ex-boyfriend? Why are we pretending as if Kerry Rhodes didn't respond to it on TMZ? We didn't report on any of that for the most part in mainstream media, and yet you have things like, you know, Rex Ryan's tattoo has his wife with Mark Sanchez's jersey on, and we talk about that. You know, the stuff that Kobe Bryant's gone through with his mother and selling his memorabilia, we're talking about that. You know, Tiger Woods and his love affairs and now him and Lizzie Vaughn, we're talking about that. And here we have, you know, this athlete who, you know, it's not even like he's not even engaged. He got engaged with the dialogue, and still mainstream sports media ignored it. And the only reason I can figure that they ignored it was because it was about being gay. And to me, that was a kind of a benign form of homophobia.
Well, I think the reason they ignored it, working in mainstream media myself, is there seems to be this standard that says they'll only report on someone who acknowledges they're gay. Right, the person
right.
has to say, and if they say they're not or whatever, then they don't want to touch it. And this goes back 20 years, and it continues today.
Right, because to be gay could ruin a person's career and could be the worst thing that you ever say about another man. So they wanted to be sure, so they wouldn't be sued for libel, because to be called gay could be considered libelous. And I don't think that we're in that place anymore culturally, and we're certainly not in that place anymore in terms of the media.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, Jim and I had several conversations about Kerry Rhodes and what we should do with this. And I, you know, when he denied the rumors, I believe we wrote about that.
Correct.
But after, as other stuff came out, we made a conscious decision not to write about it. And I'll tell you what was in my head, anyway, as we made that conscious decision, were the words of Wade Davis, who talks about the pressures that these kinds of rumors put on athletes and how it drives them and other athletes deeper in the closet. And Wade had a big influence on me saying, we should not write about this.
But you at the very least acknowledged that Kerry Rhodes had at least denied it.
Oh, yeah. I wrote a story about it because once he brings it up, and if he comes back and talks about it more, I think it's worth the story. I do agree that I was surprised that nobody, I mean, Pro Football Talk, which writes about every conceivable rumor over every issue, would not even sort of say Kerry Rhodes said this publicly. He didn't. This wasn't something that someone just intercepted his correspondence. He said it to TMZ.
Right. And to me, that, you know, there's this squeamishness about it. And we keep talking about the fact that, you know, sports is ready, the fans are ready, the country's ready. And there's a real question about whether or not the media is ready. You know, whether we are ready ourselves to get past our own discomfort, both of those of us who happen to be LGBT in media and those of us who happen to be straight in media. We both have this sort of code of silence that we've been operating with for many, many years. And there is a question about whether or not the way that we cover these conversations, are they up to speed with where everyone else says that they are? You know, Roy Hibbert got in trouble, right? $75,000 fine for saying no homo during a press conference. And people were quickly to point out that LeBron James 3 years ago had used the same phrase, surrounded by reporters, and no one said anything. And in those, so, you know, that tells you how fast that we've come in those 3 years. Right, not just in terms of the NBA and finding players and then people being aware that this phrase is, you know, can be damaging to people, but the fact that the media has been informed and caught up to that dialogue as well. So when he said no homo, it didn't go on deaf ears like LeBron James did. Actually, people perked up and says, hey, wait a minute, you can't say that, that's offensive, blah, 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 and the media took him to task. So now the question is, will the media catch up, if you will, with the way in which we cover an athlete, cover these rumors, cover everything holistically? Are we ready to catch up with the rest of society?
Well, I've said for years that the media is the number one reason that an athlete has not come out, because the media continues to portray sports as they aren't. That you know, the locker room is this deeply homophobic place where it would be impossible. We were just arguing with somebody on the radio, a radio host, just a month and a half ago about how it would be impossible to come out in pro sports because the locker room and being naked, just you can't do it. It's impossible. It's not ready for it. And even, you know, talking to reporters and having them, you know, telling them you should just ask players what they think about LGBT issues or having a gay team. Oh, no, I can't ask about that. There has to be a news peg. Well, why can't you just ask, why isn't it not just like, you know, how was practice today? What would you think of having a gay teammate? It's not that crazy of a question to ask people today, but they won't do it.
So, LZ, about Kerry Rhodes, what do you think an ESPN should have done with that story?
Acknowledge it existed. You know, you don't have to, you know, send out, like, you know, Rinaldi or anyone to do a full-on three-week investigation to see if the, you know, if the conversation's true. But, you know, pretending as if, you know, the time is right for an NFL player to come out of the closet and reporting every time that, you know, Brendan Iambideo or Chris Cluey or any one of those guys say something regarding homophobia in sports and homophobia in the locker room. We report on all those things, and then this rumor comes up, and you just turn a blind eye to it. I think it's disingenuous reporting on our part, and that's why I wrote what I wrote in the magazine, and not just ESPN, but just everyone who covers mainstream media, is that it seems a little bit disingenuous to suggest that the society's ready, culture's ready for this conversation, and then when a fraction of this conversation peeks its head in a way that we aren't used to, we just turn our backs to it and not even look at it. And I felt that's what happened with the Kerry Rhodes conversation.
One of the things that I appreciated most about your column was the end where you said, I'm not there. I'm not where I want us to be. And that you're still struggling with this kind of stuff and how you would handle it. I really appreciated that honesty because you're starting a conversation, but you yourself don't have the answer right now, but you're not where you want to be.
Well, you know, I always think I suck when I try and pretend as if I'm talking from on high. You know, it's harder for me to look in the mirror when I pretend as if all my stuff's together. And so I try to be as honest as possible in all of my columns. Sometimes I'm more successful in that than others. But that in that instance, you're absolutely right. I am not there. I still know a bunch of closeted guys, and I'm not reporting on it, you know, because, well, one, most of the guys I know aren't playing right now, or they suck, so no one really wants to hear about them. But then two, you know, I haven't resolved whether or not I think me writing a piece about all the closet athletes I know actually is what I'm pushing for. Because what I don't want is to create an atmosphere of fear and people feeling as if they're being hunted or that there's some sense of witch hunt going on. I just want them to be able to be reported as fully as their heterosexual counterparts. And if they don't come to us with these stories, that's never stopped reporters, that's never stopped the media from pursuing stories. And so if we know that these athletes are out there, like the Glenn Burke story, we just turned our backs. We just pretended as if it wasn't there. And maybe if we had actually just reported it, we wouldn't be having this conversation today about when is an athlete going to come out and blah, 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 blah. Because Glenn Burke was out back in 76. You know, so this is just the dialogue that I'm hoping to start is that, you know, my hope is that, you know, news organizations and news media all start to go, well, you know, maybe asking if the guy has a girlfriend or boyfriend isn't an offensive question anymore.
Right.
You know, if they want to answer it, I have a girlfriend, then fine. If they say, I don't want to answer, that's fine. But we're no longer going to set up a situation in which we're trying to deny the fact that they're gay athletes. And if you're coming up to a kid that you have know nothing about, asking if they have a girlfriend is saying you presume they're heterosexual. And I think that's just a wrong attitude for the media to have now.
Yeah, and I guess my standard is simply pretty – I think it's pretty easy. I agree with you on that, but I do think it's still up to the individual person when they want to come out, if ever. But I don't think asking the question is anything wrong with it. The same way it's not libelous anymore to say someone's gay. There have been court cases on that. So
right.
LZ could write a story saying naming every guy you ever met who was gay in terms of legally, it couldn't do much to you. But there's the ethical issue is another issue. But
right, you know, and I still get offended when people assume I'm straight. So I get it.
Amen. Well, that's why I drink martinis in the bar. nobody, when you have a long stem martini glass and something pink inside of it, no one gets confused.
I got to remember that. I got to, you know.
But that's all the time we have this week. Again, go to ESPN.com or ESPN the magazine. Check out LZ's article, To Ask or Not to Ask. It's fantastic and it really raises a great conversation. LZ, thank you for joining us.
Thank you guys very much.
And to all of our listeners, we will talk to you next week.